I could just say to what Sharon said, ditto, and be done. She nailed it. Freedom isn't free. We often hear it. And when we think of it, of course, at least for me, I think of the soldiers fighting and dying. And if you know anyone who's been deployed and who's lost a buddy or who's lost a limb or has lost their purpose when they get home, it's impossible for us who are here and not there to say thank you enough to them for the life that we enjoy here. We celebrated 239 years of our way of life yesterday. Our Declaration of Independence marked our victory over being ruled by a king from another country that demanded debts so high we couldn't pay. Since then, we have fought wars on our own soil and around the world for freedom. Freedom from tyranny and from terrorism, from oppression and slavery, from religious intolerance and genocidal despots. And military that we have is unquestionably the best on earth. And it should be. We spend over half of our budget, $600 billion, on keeping it strong. And if you go to some patriot rallies, you will see people walking around strutting, maybe even gun-toting and chest-thumping and very proud of our power. But I will tell you that the soldiers and the veterans that I know are not the chest-thumping and strutting type. They're much more humble. I want to show you a YouTube clip, and you're just going to have to say, oh, please, God, help her with the technology.
That's Swenson, the one without a helmet, while bullets flew all around.
Everybody was taking fire. The whole valley was just a giant ambush. It was crazy.
Sergeant Kevin Durst of the California National Guard was crew chief of a medevac helicopter which flew into that Afghan valley more than 4 years ago. Both he and the pilot recorded the battle with cameras attached to their helmets, producing this dramatic video which only now is coming to light. Durst first spotted Swenson from the air.
We saw him because he laid down with a panel marker. It's a bright orange panel. He was laying on his back and it was on his chest so we could see him.
That panel also made him an easier target for the enemy shooting down from three sides. Sergeant First Class Kenneth Westbrook had been hit in the throat and was bleeding to death. Swenson and a medic helped Westbrook to the helicopter. Then, amid the hell of combat, something beautiful happened.
Sergeant Westbrook kind of leaned down and Captain Swenson kind of leaned down and they kind of looked at each other and it appeared that they were talking, but Captain Swenson kissed him on the forehead and then tapped the side of his head.
Stop the action and you can see it clearly.
It was the brotherhood. It was your buddy is getting put onto a medevac helicopter and you're going to have to wait to see him for a couple hours. He's going to go back to the hospital and when you're done with your battle, then you'll see him.
I am incredibly moved by that. I spent some time researching Captain Will Swenson, from my Scandinavian roots, I'm sure, and realized that he is one of the most humble people you will ever talk to about what happened that day, giving credit to his team, giving credit to everybody, but not taking that honor for himself. And yet he was awarded the Medal of Honor in that battle, which was the worst in Afghanistan. He was awarded the Medal of Honor. And when he received it, he again mentioned all of his men, the ones that had survived and the ones that were lost. Very humble man. I think Will Swenson represents the best of America. In courage and conviction, he leads by example. That kiss was the example that in the midst of that war, he did not fail to have compassion and love. He's a leader who protected his brothers, helped those who were wounded, and recovered the fallen to bring them home. He kept going back and forth to bring them back to the medevac. He kept his vows willingly, and he would have given his life for his buddies. I wonder if our appreciation and admiration that we have in this country, sometimes way over the top for the military, comes from soldiers coming home that we want to be like that. We want, our desire is for Americans to have that kind of character. We hope every soldier has that kind of character and compassion. We want to believe that because America desperately needs to have heroes, that the people coming home are those heroes. In today's pericope that Clark read, Jesus shifted the entire course of his life and ministry in that one moment, demonstrating that he was there for those who believed in him, that he was always compassionate and responsive to those in need. We knew from all of the gospel, but in this story, we're touched by his tenderness. The shortest sentence in the Bible is, Jesus wept. He wept when he saw Mary's sorrow. He assured Martha that all would be well, and that, in fact, he, Jesus, was the resurrection and the life, and all who believed in him, although they died, would live, and everyone who was alive wouldn't die. And then said to Martha, "Do you believe this?" Martha diplomatically answered a question that he hadn't actually asked. "Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Messiah, and you've come into the world." And then she ran to get Mary, because she was like, "Really? Those who are dead are going to be alive in you, and those who are alive like me aren't going to die? Do I believe that?" Tough question. And Martha didn't actually answer it directly. But then Jesus, knowing why God had delayed him, understanding why he didn't go 2 days earlier when they told him that Lazarus was sick, and he had said, "Oh, it's not unto death," understood now why God had delayed him. Because this story is the foreshadowing of Jesus' own death, his own burial in a tomb, and his own resurrection. And that once this miracle with Lazarus was performed, everything would change. Because not just Mary and Martha would believe, and of course Lazarus, but all who were there in Bethany, all the Jews would believe, and the word would get out. And as happened, the high priest in the temple would be threatened. Threatened that the Romans were going to come in, get rid of the whole bunch of them, because there was this rebel Jew out there making everybody worked up about how God was the only power, and that this man coming to earth was to free the people. Jesus understood and knew that this was to happen. And yet he willingly went into harm's way. He selflessly went in, called Lazarus out from the tomb, unbound him from death's grip, and in the same time, unbound the eyes, unbound the hearts, unbound the faith of all the Jews witnessing the miracle of freedom from death. We as Americans became free from a king saddling us with debt 2 centuries ago. But we as Christians became free because of a king who paid our debt 2 millennia ago. We are free from the law of sin and death, free to love as Jesus loved, to lay down our lives willingly, and to love our enemies fearlessly. We are released from all kinds of resentment. Now, this is right down to the level of the pews and the pulpit. We can be released of all kinds of resentment. We can be loosed from shame. We are graciously forgiven for all that we have done, and so in turn, we are called to graciously forgive. In a world of who is desperate for leaders who lead with love and loyalty and service and sacrifice, wanting men and women who live selflessly and boldly and honestly and humbly, it is wonderful to see people like Captain Swenson, marks of a rare American hero. But you know what? In my mind, it's even more wonderful when those are also marks of the Christian believer. Friends, it is time for us to get unbound of all of those things that keep us bound. There's the sermon, right there. I wouldn't have had to say a word, just pointed. And I have a little ditty to help you, not a ditty, a little, what is it called? F-R-E-E. I have four words, four letters for you to remember. F. Forget about DIY. Who knows what DIY is? Do it yourself. Forget about DIY. We cannot do it ourselves because we trip up over our own stuff. Once we start thinking about our stuff, we're all in it. That's what we're in. We cannot do enough to get ourselves out of our own predicament of this human situation. I think about my cousin, David. My uncle is a little bit of a business. I don't want to say anything derogatory in church about my uncle. He plays fast and loose with money and rules. And he got his son, David, into a business deal that went bust and left David bankrupt. David, who owns a house and is married with two kids, had nothing. And so he went to my dad, his Uncle Ed, and said, I don't know what to do. And he went to Dad for two reasons. One is because Dad is a man of great faith. And two, because Dad has been wise with his money. He's not extravagantly wealthy, but he's been wise with his money. And so David said, Uncle Ed, I don't know what to do. I feel like I can't go on. I feel like I have failed myself. I feel my family. I don't really want to live anymore. And Dad, in his wisdom, said, David, if money can fix it, it's not something to worry about. And so loaned him $100,000 to get him out of the hole he was in. Now, you would have thought that David would have been all about calling my dad and letting him know how he was doing and checking in with him and thanking him and all of this. But do you know what? He avoids my dad. He doesn't call. He's not paid back a penny of that debt. And he does not want to see his Uncle Ed. He is like those of us who feel like we owe a debt to God, and we cannot possibly pay it. It is beyond our scope. And so you know what? We kind of avoid God sometimes. It's like, well, you know, I gotta... Later, God. Now, if you were David, and someone came up to you and said, listen, son, I am not only going to pay your Uncle Ed $100,000, I'm going to give him $1 million. I'm going to give him $1 million for that debt. How do you think David would feel? He would be like, hey, Uncle Ed, aren't you glad to see me? Happy. Jesus paid our debt. And more. More. Why? So that we could come to God boldly, free, knowing we have nothing to hide, that we are cleansed by His sacrifice. F. Don't do it yourself. R. Remember who did it for you. Remember whose sacrifice it was and whose payer it was. I was a chaplain at the hospital for a little while. Well, actually for some years. And I went in and saw this woman who was in her last days of life, and she knew it. But she was very lucid, and we had long talks, and she was afraid to die. Not because she didn't think there was something on the other side, but because she did. And as I just mentioned, she was afraid to meet God because she had done something bad. So bad, she wouldn't even tell me what it was. She just said she had broken commandments. And so I told this woman about the fact that her debt was paid. I told her that she didn't have to worry. She could come boldly before God because Jesus had done this great thing for her. And I will tell you, because she was raised in the church but had fallen away from it because of this great, terrible thing she had done, she remembered that. And she remembered it because every time she had communion, she remembered the body broken and the blood spilled. And I do believe that that woman died without fear. F-R-E. Embrace grace. Say it with me. Embrace grace. Grace is what flows over us and lets us know that we are indeed free. You know, in doing all this research about Will Swenson, he says, no one who hasn't been in battle like that can really explain it. And that's why it's so important for vets to get together, because they don't have to talk, they know one another understands. I will say the same thing about people who have been drenched in grace. It's very hard to explain it to someone, but when it happens to you, you know it. How many think they've ever been drenched in grace? Okay, a little sprinkle? Sprinkle? A little sprinkle of grace? Yeah, yeah. It's an amazing feeling of complete and utter love. You know right down to the very center of your soul that God loves you and that you will never, never be alone. And the last E, exemplify your faith. Walk your talk. You're the only gospel that some people will ever read. Be an example that you would like others to be. So, F, forget about doing it yourself. R, remember who did it for you. E, embrace grace. E, exemplify your faith.